Hello, everyone. Happy New Year and welcome back to another episode of the Laundry Basket Podcast. I missed you guys and I missed Rita. I mean, yeah. we text, but it's not the same. Like, there's just something about the podcast that makes me feel
there is.
Like connected. So happy to be back.
Me too. We took a 2 weeks break in publishing, but it was actually a month break of recording.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I'm like, what? Last time we spoke, it was like 2023.
Yeah. the olden days.
Do you feel a difference now that we're in 2024?
I actually do this year, and I usually don't. But
it
does feel different, and I don't know what it is exactly. I just, the energy is fresh, which I like.
Me too. I feel that too. I feel the same. Yes.
Yeah.
And it goes, even when I'm like typing, I type a lot of dates in my work. I'm type a lot of dates.
Yeah.
And every time I type 2024, I feel good. It's so weird.
Me too. Yeah. And I'm not really like, usually it takes me a couple months to like get to like on track with the year, but this year I'm like, no, it's 2024. Like, I'm not forgetting this. Like, I am here and I'm proud. I'm happy to be here.
Oh my God. I feel the pride. Yes. Yeah. It's like 2023. I just kicked it off. I'm like, you're done.
We are done with 2023. Very happy to be here.
I had a good 2023.
Yeah.
Have no complaints with my 2023, right, to tell you the truth. But there is something overpowering with 2024. It feels like it just came and just like, boom.
It's a good feeling.
Excellent segue into drum roll.
Thank you.
That's our 2024 energy right there, Salima.
I had to.
The numerology of 2024.
Okay.
So real quick, you know, this is very surface level numerology, but basically the year 2024's number is 8. Because when you add up the numbers, it adds up to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important parts of that number numerology is that it's the infinity sign is number 8.
Yeah.
And it's just very powerful. And one of the biggest, if there's only one thing you have to remember about this year, it's karma.
Oh yes.
Everything that needs to happen is going to happen. So got good karma, or if you've been throwing out there some real bad shit and, you know, bad karma is going to come to you, it's going to be this.
Wow. I love it. I'm excited even more now.
Yeah. So maybe that's the energy we're feeling or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
We got some good
karma
coming our way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been throwing like pretty good stuff out there. So I think the good karma is going to come. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm confident.
I am believing it. Okay. That's it. I'm not gonna go deep into numerology because I suck at it. Like, I don't know a lot, but I know this.
Yeah,
and I know also 8 is my number, so I'm like double vibing right now.
Okay, yeah, this is like very powerful year for you. I feel it.
Yeah, I feel it. But it's cool that you're feeling it. I kind of threw that question out there, thinking you're gonna be like, nah, not really.
Yeah, that's the thing. Usually, I am that way. But something about this, like, first, it's only been 15 days and I'm just feeling good. And I had COVID. Like, it's not like I've been starting off strong. Like, no, it's just the energy. Like, I can't explain it. So, yeah.
I love it. And not to say, I mean, of course, we are very privileged because, like, the world is in flame. There's just a lot of crazy shit happening. So I think maybe it's just like for the rest of us, actually, maybe that's why we're feeling so high, because we see how bad other people have it.
Oh,
at least me, I can tell you for sure that like I'm hardcore, like grateful for everything.
Same.
Every day.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah. The other day I was just doing some stretching and I like fucked up my shoulder. And so the next day I was like icing it and doing the heat pad. And like the next day it was all better. And I like, since then I've been so grateful for my shoulder. I'm like, dude, I can lift it. I can move it. Like I can do Pilates again. Like it's just a blessing instead of being like, man, I'm getting old. I'm like, no, I bounced back. It took one day and I'm back. Like it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And gotta now have you're that like, perspective.
Yeah. So you're just like so happy that you have a good shoulder that you can use. Right. Yeah.
It's a blessing.
So I think that's 2024 energy right there.
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. All right. So before we just jump into the new year, like how was the holidays? How was the new year for you? Because you were in Luxembourg, right?
Yeah, I was. It was good. It's like you know, I was sick on the first of the day of the year.
Yeah.
Really sick. And it lasted for a while. And it was taxing on the body, but my spirits were high,
right?
Like high. I was high spirited because I was with Sophia and we traveled around. We went to beautiful towns in Belgium and we went to Amsterdam as well in the Netherlands, and I loved everything that I was seeing. It was very stimulating for the eyes, and just like the little houses and the old these towns that like back in the day they were like super important. So they were very well built, but now we go and it just looks super cute. But for them, it was like
luxurious, going to New York, like Wow, that's so cool.
But that's, you know, that's the beauty of Europe. So although my body was struggling with just like being sick and there was rain and it was pretty cold, like colder than what I usually would choose as a day to just be out all day. But whatever. It was a lot of fun. So I started the year in a very European way, we can say.
It's very posh of you.
I mean, I think Amsterdam was, we went to the Red District that night, of course, because like you have to do that when you go to Amsterdam.
On New Year's Eve?
To see, no, New Year's Eve home, like in Luxembourg. Okay. Family. Okay. But, a few days after when we were in Amsterdam, what you know how they have prostitution is legal there,
right? The red light district,
yeah. But the thing is, we walked by the streets where the girls are, and they're it's almost like window shop. It is window shopping because they have their big window and a door with a window as well, and they're just there. And they're looking out to the street, trying to look cute.
Yeah.
And there's people on the streets looking at them and obviously deciding whether or not they're going to go in or just hanging around. And it's a weird sight. Like, I still don't know how I felt about it.
Yeah. I get that.
The first thing I noticed is almost all of them looked the same. Now, honestly, that was disappointing. I was like, oh, you know, they should get their own style. They all look like Instagram girls, you know, like the same nose, the same lips, the same cheeks, the same, you know what I mean, like done up kind of thing,
for sure.
So that was like a little maybe like
you want some variety, some options to choose from. Like maybe one day I'm in the mood for this, the next day I want a little something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking that too. I was like, huh, okay, I was expecting more like wild, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And there was a lot of just mainstream looking lookers. I don't know. But it was just
like... Wow. Maybe we got to go to a different country. Amsterdam is
I don't know.
Wait, well, is it just women? Are there men as well?
Yeah, that's like, the problem too.
In the windows?
Like, in that area of town, which is the most, you know, visited area, it was all girls. I think maybe some of them were trans, or I don't know if they would identify as trans or as what's the other word before trans,
non-binary maybe,
no like old school, like when men dress as women,
drag, like in drag.
Maybe they were more kind of like you know, when you're like, oh, I'm not sure if this is a girl or not.
Yeah.
But that was only like one or two, and there were many there. So apparently there's another area of town where it's actually, I don't know if they call it the purple district or the blue district, I don't remember, but there's another area which is gays and trans.
Okay.
Well, we didn't go to that area. And apparently at some point there was an area that was men.
Mm-hmm. Like for the ladies.
For the ladies. But apparently it like it's not good business.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm like, I would go to window shop, but then I would not spend any money.
That's what the tour guide was telling us. He was like, yeah, that didn't last long because the girls would go just to look at them and like kind of like giggle and move on.
Yeah, like that's like exactly what I would do.
It's like kind of something I can get for free. Yeah. So I don't think that. So that's not there anymore.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was. I wish it was more diversity, and it did feel weird because of the whole like how tiny the place is where they are, because it's basically a room that has one bed that is like a single bed. Okay. And then you can see there's a bit of like a bathroom and like a mirror. And that's it. Like it's a very tiny space. So between how tiny that space is and the windows and just like that one girl in it, they looked like they were in boxes.
Yeah.
And that was like, it doesn't matter if they're prostituting themselves. It was just a setup that felt very...
It's like transactional.
Human in a cage or like a confined space. Uh-huh. In my mind, I don't know why, I thought it would actually be like a large window, kind of like a store. And there would be like many of them, maybe like dancing a little bit on a pole or doing like, I don't know. Like I thought.
And then they take you back to like a private place that's like a normal room, like not.
That's exactly what I thought, that they would be kind of more like a brothel. But that you could see from the outside what the brothel's like inside, and then
like
you...
a public communal room, and then I see what
you're... And then you see that girl, and then with that girl you would, you know, go up to the room.
Almost like a strip club with private rooms, like
exactly. That's what display. 100%. That's what I thought it would be. A strip club with a big window so everybody could kind of see what's happening, and then the rooms. But no, it's just these little spaces. And the girls are there. Some of them are just like scrolling through their phones.
Wow.
That's what I didn't like. But like, who am I to have an opinion on this? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But
I guess if it's working for them, it's working for them.
But it wasn't like that idea of the entertainment aspect. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's really just, this is what I look like. If you want to hit that, come in and I'll give you my prices. And that's it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the fact that that's there in this world, that there's
totally
a place like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that they're protected, obviously, and, you know, that's cool. That's nice. That's very
it's
nice.
That it's, like, in a, hopefully, a safe environment.
Yeah.
Well, my New Year's was pretty mellow in comparison. I think I told you guys even before the New Year's, but I was at one of my good friends' house, like two of my best friends from college and their husband and the boyfriend. And we all just like were at this lake house with one of them has three kids. So we got to spend time with the kids. And that was super cool because they live in Kansas, so pretty far away. So I didn't get to hang out with them very often. And then on New Year's Eve, we all like cooked together, and then we had some mushrooms, and we went out. And family has this salt water hot tub, and so we were in the hot tub for like hours, which usually I don't stay in the hot tub for that long. I think the mushrooms were really like just that, and the salt water. We were all like prunes, but then like at midnight, we were like cheersing, and then there were fireworks. So it was just great. Like
that's really nice,
wholesome New Year's experience. I'm like, I don't think I've ever had a New Year's that just felt that like just good. You know, I don't really want to be anywhere else right now. So
yeah,
nice. It was a good start to the year.
That's good.
And then we all got COVID.
Yeah. So. Well, actually, now that you say that, the last day of the year, me and Sophia, we went to, there's a city in Belgium called Spa, S-P-A. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the word spa comes from.
Ooh.
Because there was like thermal water there. You know, the water comes from the ground and all.
Right. Yeah.
And the Romans had built these pools around that water and they would go there. So there's actually a spa there and we went there. Now, it's not a spa like I was imagining, like a pampering kind of spa. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's like a community center kind of spa.
Okay.
And part of it is outdoors, part of it is indoors. And I think that's where I got sick, just like exposure to the cold. Even though I was in the water and all, there was a lot of wind and anyways.
And people probably.
Like, maybe I caught something from someone and yeah. So, but
yeah,
still the memory of it is really nice.
Yeah, yeah, like I have no regrets.
No, no regrets.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Plus it feels like literally everyone is sick right now. So we all just got it together. It's okay.
We just all started the year that way, but I'm still grateful.
Yeah, so same here. Mm-hmm. Same here.
What? Oh, did you choose a word for 2024?
Oh, no. No, I never do that. And then you always have one. And I'm like, damn, I just want to steal yours. So let's, how about you tell us our word?
Okay. So, guys, I always choose a word for the year that's going to kind of be like the vibe of the year. And the word I chose this year is going to sound super boring, but it's consistency.
Ooh.
And yes, it sounds boring, but
it's key.
It's key. That's what it is. If you don't have that, you go nowhere in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually think it's just an easy, you know, it's not a big, like, ambitious goal or anything. It's not like it's not a big word like, prosperity or abundance. No, it's just consistency, man. Just choose one thing, be consistent in it.
I love it.
And that's
I love
it.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not like you have to do something 100% of the time. You just need to be consistent at it, right? Like,
consistent.
And you know how some people, I don't know if you've heard of 75 hard. It's like one of those like workout challenges. And I know a lot of people who are like doing that for the new year. And it's like 75 days of like journaling every day and doing this many hours of exercise and this diet and all this shit. And it's like, that's great. But we all know that with diets, like people fall off, like you go really hard and then you burn out. But with consistency, you just keep coming back to it. Whether you take a break for a day, like it's just, you just keep coming back to it. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's such an achievable goal. And you can apply it to so many different aspects of life.
And the results will be there. That's the nice thing about consistency. Anything you're consistent with will give you results, which will make your brain happy, which will send signals of like positive reinforcement, which is going to build more pathways in your brain, which is going to make you more consistent, whether with that thing or other things in other areas of life.
Yeah.
It's just a great place to start. Consistency.
I love it.
That's my word. And that's every laundry basket listener's word.
Yeah. It's a really good one. That's our word.
It's our word, people.
Perfect. Okay. So now just moving away from the new year and like positivity, I have to ask. Well, I'm asking the general audience and you. How often are we eating fruit? Because, I mean, let me just ask and you tell me first.
Okay. Are olives fruits?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Are you? I don't know. Let me Google it.
Because they have a pit kind of like fruits. Yeah. I don't know if I think olives are fruits. Like they come from trees and I have a feeling.
Yeah, no, you're right. They're fruits. Wow.
Well, if you factor in the olives, I'm eating fruits every day.
Okay. All right. What if we're not factoring in the olives?
Okay. Not factoring the olives.
But I really respect that. I didn't know that.
Maybe like probably 75% of the time I eat a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
I would think I eat fruit almost every day.
Okay.
There's more days that I eat fruits than days that I don't eat fruits.
Okay. Okay, cool. Because I used to not. Like there was probably, well, growing up I did because that's how our parents are. And in Morocco, it's like dessert is fruit every day. But then like obviously when I went to college and started like cooking on my own, I don't think I ate fruit very much. Like maybe like 30% of the time, like a few days out of the week. And the reality is that we're supposed to be eating fruit every day. You know, they say like, this is how much of a servings of fruit you're supposed to have and veggies every day. And I think most people don't eat fruit that often. Mm-hmm. Like, I think mm-hmm. people forget about it. And there's this yeah. weird, like stigma that it's high in sugar when really the sugar is good for you. Like, it's not something to be scared of at all. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think it's crazy that people aren't eating fruit all the time. And recently I've started eating it every day and I love it. I'm like, this is enjoyable. Why am I like,
of course,
why was I depriving myself of this? Like,
which fruits do you eat?
I mean, it depends on the season, right? Like mm-hmm. right now I'm eating a lot of like bananas, which aren't in season here, but mm-hmm. they're easy. They're like easily accessible. A lot of citrus, like oranges and tangerines and stuff like that. And I always love apples because in Washington, we have apples like all year round. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the ones right now that I'm enjoying. How about you?
Okay, good. I'm a very much of a clementine kind of person. Like I love having a clementine bag in my house. It makes me feel yes. very good to know it's there. And obviously bananas is like an easy go because they give me a lot of energy. They're just like such a good snack
yeah.
that fill me up. So those two I think are the most like constant in my life in general. And then I'll pick out some other fruits like, oh, some grapes or, oh, you know, in the summer, lots of berries and
or cherries, you know, or like stone.
Don't even get me started the on the cherries for real. They're so yeah, expensive that's like a whole other. Everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
They are my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Cherries. They're just, too
it's
good.
Worth it. It's like worth the $20 of freaking cherries. It's crazy. Well, anyway, I just hope that you guys are eating fruit. Don't deprive yeah. yourself. Like, it's important. And honestly, I was looking at like the serving sizes. Like, if you Google like what is a serving size of fruits and veggies, it's actually really cool. There's like a site, I think it's Eating Well. It's a site that has like pictures of all the different like just different combinations of fruits and veggies that you could have and what it looks like in cups. And I'm like, it really isn't that much. Like, it sounds like a lot when they say like, oh, you're supposed to have 7 servings of veggies.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, it's like, this is like maybe a head of broccoli or like, you know, it's like easy to do. You just have to like do it. Right?
They need to change the word serving to something else. Cause when we think of the serving, you think of like a whole dish, like a plate.
Yes. Like, yeah. But really, like a banana could be your entire freaking serving of fruit for the day. Like, truly, like there's like 2 servings of fruit in 1 banana. So, yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah.
It's
I'm like, are they calculating these servings? Like, who's making the servings?
It's off.
Like, legend up. Yeah.
Get it.
Okay. I saw this probably somewhere on the internet. The German, they have a word which means to have coffee with a friend and shit talk.
Ooh.
And I think that's brilliant.
Wow. Yes.
So specific. And the word is, okay, I'm going to butcher this, but it's something like coffee klatsch. So the coffee at the beginning, I think, means something about having coffee. Mm. And then klatsch. Somewhere there means talking shit. So if a friend, like in Germany, people would be like, yeah, let's just like coffee klatsch. Like, it's been a while. Let's coffee klatsch. So you just go have a coffee and shit talk. And I think that would be a perfect name for a podcast. Like, if I was German, that would be our podcast name.
Oh my gosh. I'd be ready to change it right now. If only we had some kind of way of putting that in one word. Man. No, you know what the real problem is? No one wants to shit talk anymore. And I'm so tired of everyone being on this fucking high ground of like, it's negative energy. I'm like, you know what? There's just something cathartic about it. And we need to do it. And I need more friends. You know what? I need more people in my life who shit talk. That's the real problem that I'm experiencing. Like, I have friends who want to get coffee. And I don't either. And I miss it. I'm like, why don't I have people who I can do that with?
Right. And I'm trying to think, what would I shit talk about? Or like, who would I shit? The thing
that's
is,
the
with
problem.
Me,
we have too many positive people in our life. Yeah, it's like there's exactly not enough people. I've cut them all out, and now what do I do? I stalk them on the internet and talk shit about that. But there's no one communal to talk shit. Like, it's just
yeah. Like, you know what people are talking shit about? They're talking shit about like politicians, which are a very easy target, and B, they're not part of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out there like, okay, I don't know. Like, really, is this where you're going to shit talk Trump, shit talk Biden? Like, oh, that's so basic.
Yeah.
If you want to shit talk, totally. It's got to be. Is it even shit talk if it's politicians?
You know what? No. I think we also are, it's the third space thing. It's like we're missing that third space where you go, like a church, right? Like at church, you like see your friends, but you also see that lady that's at church every week.
Oh, there is like, oh some shit talking in the church happening.
For sure. And I'm honestly jealous of, maybe I should start joining a religion just for the shit talking, you know? That might be the real appeal of organized religion.
That's actually like the adhesive like
the draw
factor. Yeah.
Yep.
Why are people going back? Why are people not going back to like the circle of ethical grounds of conversation? Like nobody wants to go to that circle. People want to go to like, let's go to church where everyone feels guilty about everything they do.
Yes.
And since God thinks what you did is wrong, I have the right to also feel like what you did is wrong. So I'm also going to talk shit about it.
And really, I'm just being a good Catholic. Like,
yeah. Just keeping things in check. Okay. Making sure my opinion is out there.
Damn. We're missing that in our life. Yeah, maybe we should have stayed in contact with the toxic family members. And then we could have more dirt on them. Like, instead, we're just like, I haven't seen them in 12 years. So it's just like drama from 12 years ago. Yeah, literally. Like, kind of boring. Maybe we need to bring the drama back into our lives.
I know, eh? And also the friends who become toxic, you just kind of like, they wither away.
Yeah.
And now we don't. We
now
can't
it's only
coffee.
Positivity in our lives.
Yes.
Like, come on. Boring.
Yeah. Anyways.
Wow. The Germans, they're onto something.
Yeah, they're onto something.
Mm. Have you watched the movie Saltburn?
Sorry, I was gonna say they downgraded from being Nazis to just being shit talkers who have coffee.
They found a healthier way to channel that energy.
So for us, we're like, cancel culture and whatever. For them, they're like, we're just going to stop at shit talking with a coffee. I think that's, you know, our standards.
Yeah. I respect it. Honestly, they're doing something right there.
Anyway, sorry, Germans. Oh, I don't think, obviously, not everybody's a Nazi. It's just a joke.
Just in your history. It's fine.
I'm trying to shit talk here.
That's all we've got.
Sorry, you were saying something.
I was wondering if you've seen the movie Saltburn.
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. It's this weird movie about, like, I think the most obvious theme of the movie is like class, but also it's about this dude that's like obsessed with this family, this really rich, this kid who comes from a really rich family. They both go to Oxford, and he's like just creepily obsessed with him, also borderline in love with him. And it's just how he like infiltrates the family and ends up, spoiler alert, like killing the whole family and like becoming the heir to their fortune. And it's like, it's a creepy movie. There's like some really weird scenes in a bathtub and of him like fucking the grave of one of the guys he kills. It's weird. Okay, so this guy's like a sociopath, but I was reading like a Reddit thread about it, and the women in this thread were going feral for this man. Like, they were obsessed. They were like, there's this scene where the guy, I'm just gonna get graphic, and I'm so sorry for anyone who's like not prepared for this, like maybe put your headphones in. He like comes in a bathtub. He's like masturbating in the bathtub. And then the creepy dude is like watching him. And then like when the guy leaves, he like licks the drain and like is licking the bathtub. And it's just a weird level of obsession. Okay. Anyway,
right.
Women were like, that scene was like the sexiest thing I've ever seen. Whereas like I thought the scene was objectively disturbing, but instead these women are like so turned on and just going crazy. And I'm like, is that
right?
Is that like a thing that like sociopaths are sexy? Like, I know there's like a niche of women that are like, you know, writing to murderers and serial killers in prison. Like that's a thing, you know? But I just don't, I don't understand it. I'm like, why shouldn't your survival instincts be kicking in that this is weird and creepy, but you're like turned on right now? What is that?
I don't know enough to comment on this kind of stuff. Like, I know that there's a lot of people who, you know, there's like the kink side of sex and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of like things that people are turned on that, you know, in a regular social setting would not be appropriate in any way. But when it's like in the bedroom, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've listened to a lot of podcasts about this, like, funny enough, but like ended up but there's like, no, it's true. Like, for example, it was like the whole like dominant versus I don't even know the like terms sub, right now, but like
the dom and the sub.
Mm-hmm. exactly so the sub is on both sides, like the dominant in their sex life, it's not like they're going around wishing to like hurt people. But when they're in the setting in the bedroom, they enjoy like whipping or like not just a little spank, like full on, like.
Mm-hmm.
And then the submissive, it's not like in real life they don't want to be like abused, discriminated against. But when it comes to like sex, they like to play that role and.
Yeah.
And everyone, and there's like all these, there's like a whole window of, there's a spectrum to like how much.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people want full on being beat until there's like a bruise on their body, and other people, they just want to like pretend, like more acting it out than doing it. And it's like, they talk about it before they do it, and then they talk about
the
it
safe
after.
Word and everything.
Yeah, all that stuff. So there's a whole world of like stuff and more, right? Like that's just one example, the whole like hitting, but there's like all kinds of other things. And For sure. Licking someone else's cum is I think that's pretty.
No, like, I think what's, that
what
part
is it that you think
get,
was, yeah, like, that part is not,
no,
yeah.
No,
like,
no, what, I what think, part? Yeah, you're making a good point. I think I respect the kink. I never want to kink shame. Like I totally respect that. I think I actually could see the appeal of the licking and everything. The bathtub part is a hard no for me just for hygiene reasons, but you already know I'm weird like that. But more specifically, I think what weirds me out is the character he's playing is like a murderer, sociopath.
A murderer.
And then like to go further, we know in real life, like this is a movie, but in real life, there are women and men who write to murderers in prison and are like, looking for a relationship, looking to like have a real relationship with these like murderers. And I'm like, what is that? Like, why isn't there something in you that's like scared?
Maybe it's the hero complex. Maybe they feel like the murderer is gonna like,
I can change
I can save him, or they think maybe that murderer is powerful and the power might translate into like some very passionate relationship. I don't know if there's psychological studies on this, because it's not like the same thing than that what's the word with the syndrome when like you're captured, you fall in love with the person who kidnapped you
again.
Come
I know
on
what you're talking about.
It's a, everybody knows this.
It's
like a name. I don't remember. Anyways, the point is these people are not being captured. They're free people who are looking to hook up with murderers. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
it's Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, Stockholm. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I just find it fascinating.
Okay. Moving on to something else that I saw. I saw a little mini documentary on influencers. And there was this one idea that came up, which was the person was arguing that social media on one end, on one hand, is it on one hand or yeah, on yeah. one hand, on one hand has been a space to deconstruct certain social established norms and kind of like, you know, break stereotypes and things like that. But I think the stats show that actually most of social media is doing the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And especially in the world of influencers and in the world of women influencers, and I guess some very, very, very like asshole men, but just the women influencers, there's a lot of increasing this like narrative of gender roles. Like so many influencers and channels about beauty and beauty products and makeup and creams and blah, 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 blah. And then so many other ones about like how to have the perfect home and how to have the perfect cupboards and how to perfectly organize your laundry and how to all of this, like, you know, perfect. And it's a girl doing this, obviously, and then, or like home cleaning. And then the other one is like fitness, how to look good in your fitness clothes, how to, you know, it just, or like, oh, motherhood. All these motherhood tricks and these like perfect way of making your kid's first birthday, or all of these like arts and crafts you can do with your kids, or all this like to a that when you step back, you're like, what the hell? Like easily as a woman, our feed can just become this like crazy, never ending. Like this is how to have the perfect house. This is how to be the perfect wife. This is how to be the perfect mom. And you're like, oh, and also this is how to look good. And they were saying, this is not really advancing the cause. Like, this is really, there's only so much that you can isolate yourself from these messages. Because at the end, it's a message.
Yeah.
And answers, she actually was saying how she started doing that, showing how to be the perfect, instead of housewife, I think she calls herself like, girlfriend something, house girlfriend, or I don't know what it is. The stay point is
girlfriend.
I think that's what it is. Yes, yeah, stay at home, yeah. GF or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So the stay at home GF, and all she does is like she'll be like, this is, look at the pie I cooked, and now I'm going to iron my boyfriend's clothes, and now I'm gonna, but you know, these girls who watch her, their dream is to be that. But what they don't see is that this woman is working. Like all of this stuff that she's posting and these little creative videos that she's doing, and she's getting these sponsorships, and like obviously she's got, and she was saying, she's like, I have a media company and like this is what I do. And you know, basically she's showing a character that she's not.
Mm-hmm.
But people, these girls, these younger girls watching her think it's true.
Right.
And I was just like, well, if you know that's what you're doing, like this is crazy. Like you're just perpetuating this image of just staying at home and waiting for your boyfriend to come back from work. But really you're like, you have your own business, lady, and that's what you do. Like you actually work all day long. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just like, this is not right. This is not right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so true. And it's so overwhelming how many different areas of life it's like trickled into, right? Like mm-hmm. these young influential girls, sure, they may be following her, and they're also following the person who's the perfect mom, and the person who's mm-hmm. the perfect gym influencer, mm-hmm. and the person who, you know, is so organized and has everything in their house perfectly like white and in mm-hmm. label drawers, right? Like it's so overwhelming. There's no way to even keep up with one aesthetic is a full-time job. So then to have to like feel like you need to be achieving on this level in every area of your life is like so unrealistic and takes a team just to do one of these things. Like literally crazy.
So yeah, I thought crazy. Yeah. Just I feel throw it out there.
I feel mm-hmm. bad. I like yeah, I don't know. Like, we didn't grow up with influencers. So I feel like it's easy to see that it's fake for us. I hope that kids can find a way to see that that's not real.
Also. I don't know. What kind of influencers did we have? I think my influencers in my life was like the people I listened to, like Alicia Keys. I feel like
celebrities
influencers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we knew they were working, obviously, like at least they were dancing or singing or playing an instrument or something.
Yeah.
But I can't pinpoint someone that I'm like, oh, this, you know, I was inspired by, like, influenced by this person.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. No.
Maybe like a hairstyle or like a makeup. Oh,
please,
look
we would go to the hair salons and look at those stupid catalogs.
Yeah. No, but sometimes if I was doing my own hair, you know, or like trimming my bangs, I'd like look at a magazine like oh, J-Lo's bangs look like that. I'm going to, you know, like, but it wasn't that deep. It was just lighthearted. It felt lighthearted.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. So because this year is the number 8 in numerology and it represents the infinity symbol and karma. This is something I've had on my little like list of like our rambles for a while and I just haven't gotten to it. But I like thinking about karma in like all the different avenues of my life. So not just like general good and bad energy, but also like romantic karma and like friendship karma and professional karma and financial karma and like all of those different avenues. I feel like there's a different karma for each of them. So like, yes, in general, like you and I were both saying, I think we're pretty confident that we have good karma coming our way, but I also feel like you can put it in specific buckets. So like if you've been really organized financially, like I feel like that's good karma financially to put out there, that you're going to have that come back and reward you in that area of your life. Mm-hmm. Whereas like maybe that's going really well, but maybe with your friendships, like things are a hot mess and you've been maybe not nice or whatever. And that could be a different kind of karma. So I guess I just like looking at it in different
ways. No, I like it. The little buckets of karma.
Yeah.
It's like plants like growing.
And get organized like about our karma.
That's exactly what it is.
Let's make a spreadsheet, okay? In my mind, there's a little spreadsheet.
Yeah, like a graph of like a pie graph. No, a bar graph of like how high each karma category could go. And like,
and let's be honest,
return on investment for each one of them is going to be.
It's delusional optimism in all areas. Like, I've been good. I have good karma in all of them, okay?
Yeah.
But wait, yes, different levels. Said,
what would be a good romantic karma? Mm. Like,
well,
if you're in a relationship already.
Yeah. I think, oh, yeah, totally. I think it can apply.
Well,
to,
the obvious one is don't
be your relationship. Well, yeah, of course. That's like,
don't be a homebreaker.
Don't just be like, a fucking shitty person. You're getting bad karma. Yeah. No, but I think like relationships take effort and take work. So I think if you're like, obviously you could just like coast in your relationship and maybe that's great and there's still good karma going in. But I think also like taking time to have date nights and to do little extra things for your partner and like just always putting in effort into the relationship instead of just like letting it be, which can also be good. But I like, that's how I think of the relationship, like the romantic karma, like what am I doing, like what little things am I planning for us, or what am I doing to make things feel a little bit special, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah
it
that was been on my mind actually yesterday. It's funny that you say that, but I was thinking that I was like,
what about the romantic stuff? Or
yes about just nice. Like it, I think it came naturally because Julio and I, he went to Cuba, and when I went to like Luxembourg and all, and then he came back. Anyways, we didn't see each other for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, you start missing the other person and stuff, and then you start thinking, your mind gets creative, like, oh, when I see them, I'm going to do this and like that. And then you start like building up. And I thought about it.
So
I was like,
nice.
Oh, good. Like it resets intentions. Like,
100%.
That sometimes when you're in the routine can kind of like fade away a little bit.
Yeah. And like the distance is really great for that. But like when you're together every day, all day, totally the routine becomes inevitable. So it's nice to like put in some good karma, you know, like put in some effort and have fun with it. So
That's good. I like that. Good. Yeah. We can end it there.
Okay.
Okay. So everybody, Sharing is Caring is a segment where we share a book, a podcast, a movie, or something for you to enjoy. And we ask you, and we ask the karma out there.
Yep, this is another type of karma.
This is our podcast karma, okay? So we share something with you in the hope that you will share our podcast with someone. And I just have been binge listening this podcast that I found like last week. And you might know it. Anyways, it's called Scamfluencers.
Ooh, I don't think
so. It's Scamfluencers. Mm-hmm. But basically, these two girls, they're hilarious. And they do, it's either one or two episodes on people who have scammed other people. And I just
I love it. Okay. I love it. Oh, I know some of these influencers. Oh my God. Yes.
So some of them are influencers, like full on social media, but some of them are like hardcore. Like they have one on what's the name? George Santos.
Yeah. That's the one I saw. Unbelievable. I'm like, ooh, I will be listening to that. So funny. One.
And they just have like other ones of people that I don't know, but who have just, you know, scammed. Like they go through the scam and like how people get robbed all this money. And you're like, oh my God, no, don't give your money. And then you just listen to the story and you're like, no. And it's, it is so good. So yeah, Scamfluencers. I think I'm going to get a lot of people addicted to this podcast.
Yeah, I'm already following. Can't wait to binge it up. All right. Well, again, if you guys enjoy our podcast, please share it with someone you love. And we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.